This is Urban Lifestyle Cafe, Episode 3, Season 1 of Atlanta. Lifestyle Cafe again. I'm your host, Michael Carr, the dreadlockconnoisseur.com, of course. And I have my co-hosts here that we will be speaking about the Great Atlanta series on FX, created by Donald Glover. We have Mark in New York City. We got Sean, my son, down in Georgia with us, and Alicia, my co-host here. We've lived here. We know about the environment. We've seen this, and it is one of the most exciting and best shows on TV right now. The premise of the show is an American comedy drama TV series created by Donald Glover. And if you don't know who he is, he used to be in Parks and Recreation. Oops, nope, not Parks and Recreation. Community.
Thank you.
He used to be in Community. And
he's a rapper.
He's a rapper as well. And so this is a portion of his time when he was down in Atlanta. And the series about his two cousins navigating their way in Atlanta rap scene in an effort to improve their life as well as proving the lives of their family. So guys, when you first saw the first episode, because you know the first episode actually showed you that, and then it went into the second episode. So, opinion wise, as an outsider, Mark, living in New York and you seeing this, what was your impressions?
Well, first of all, I thought that it caught a lot of urban life when they were inside the parking lot. And just seeing, you know, the interaction of the people there at the convenience store, it's like, look, I'm here with my woman, you're here, you know, we're going to have a type of confrontation, period, you know. And it's not so much that it's a negative thing, it's just, it's a people thing. If you're living in the inner city and the only excitement you get is the pop off.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, let's pop off. It's Friday night.
Right.
Let's do something.
But,
you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good point.
So if you look at it, and that's great, because that's what you saw. We saw something else.
Yeah, because we're from Atlanta.
We're from Atlanta, so we saw something else.
And it's kind of crazy that, you know, it's getting somebody else who haven't been here talking about what he sees from the actual show. So I think that I'm glad because, you know, Michael told Mark, you need to watch the show. And guess what? Mark watched the show and he loved it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? After Mike told me about it, I was in the doctor's office and the New York Magazine had an interview with Glover. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here, I'm reading this guy's bio, and I'm going, this guy's not only intelligent, it's like he's creative and all these things. And I'm sitting there reading it, and it took me away from my negativity because I saw there's a poster that's on the side of the bus with these three black guys with peaches in their
with
mouth.
With peaches in their mouth, right.
And I'm sitting here going, something racist about this poster. I can't figure it out. You know, I'm like, whoa, what? And then I was like, well, what is racist? What are you saying? Because they have peaches in their mouth, it's a stereotype? I'm like, what black people you know walk down the street with peaches in their mouth? I had to check myself after I read the article. And then when Mike was like, look, you got to see this thing here. This is, I was like, okay, give it a shot.
And phenomenal. So Sean, you know, you heard what Mark said. Now, what did you see? Because we walk those areas and we see if you go around the corner from the booty clubs or from whatever club you come from, and this is what you see before you headed home. What was your impression of that first scene when you first opened that series up, and that's the first thing they saw?
Man, it was actually I looked at it as regular. I looked at it as typical. I looked at it as, okay, that's usually what happens here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like my concept, my perception on watching the movie, first off, I want to say, yeah, Glover is very intelligent. Like you said, man, he's a writer. He wrote for 30 Rock. He's a comedian. He's a rapper. You know what I'm saying? So just when I heard that the show was about Atlanta, you know, I already knew he was from Rita and Road. You know, I already knew he grew up in Stone Mountain. You know, so, you know, and I already knew he was a 30 Rock writer. So I was like, okay, this should, you know, and then when I seen the first show, I was like, okay, this is some Seinfeld stuff right here. This is a black version of Seinfeld. If you lived in the city, you know exactly what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. A lot of things really wasn't a surprise for you. So I was looking at it on the creative side. I was looking at it on the intellectual side. And he blew my mind.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even the things that Uncle Mark is looking at was like, oh, man, that's normal. That's, you know, what we do. And
yep.
That's Atlanta, you know?
Yep.
But there was still potent parts in the show that I looked past because it was just normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still like, wow, that is intriguing. Wow. Is that really racist? You know, it was further through the show, I had to ask myself that too. I had to ask myself that same question. Man, that's racist. And then I said, you know what? Hold on. Is that really racist? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So my first point of view when I seen the show was like, wow, okay, that's pretty cool, man. He didn't go over ghetto. He didn't over black it for the white people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he didn't dumb it down for the dumb black people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like he gave it to you raw. You know what I'm saying? He gave it to you as raw as he could give it. But that's why the first show sold me. Because it's like, wow. Dang. Okay.
So
wow.
Yeah. So this is, you know, kind of how I saw it. When the introduction went in, this is what I seen when I hung out with my best friend. And before we went there, there's a guy who said, oh, yeah, you think you're a big rapper, man. You ain't nothing. Your shit is garbage. That's the conversation you hear in the club, outside of the club, in the parking lot, down the street. That was just typical. But what Donald did with the writing, he put metaphors in there. He put kind of things that makes you think outside of there. He actually threw in outside peripheral things. So when all of that was going on, somebody said, what was it that they always have the fights on? Not Wild Style or, and he was just yelling in the background like, look, we're about to put on a fight and put it on video. And it's like, that's typical. Everybody's sitting around waiting to record a fight or an incident. They're not trying to stop it. This is life now. So it's not even Atlanta. It's the world. So he put that in there. Even though they didn't show it, they put it in there. So people lost that. You said you didn't hear them in the background. And he was like, no, no, no. But why would he say no, no, no? Because he's an intellectual trying to make his cousin feel, dude, you're a rapper, but you got to stay away from that. No, you're a rapper. That's part of what you do. All of that is part of what you do. But it's in Atlanta. And then, after all that said and done, then they went backwards. And this is what me and Alicia kind of went through. When you have children and children don't want to do anything and they think they got these dreams of all of that and they think they can keep coming home, nah, you can't keep doing that. You know, his dad standing in front of the house and say, yeah, how you doing? I can't come in? Nope. And except for saying, because you fucked up and you're doing that, he said, you left, you know, turds in there and you're not coming in here for that. But he was just using different things. And if you were smart enough to catch what he was talking about, then you're like, wow, how amazing this is. But it was so real. It was so real every chance you got. Some of it, it don't even have to be Atlanta. But once you saw Atlanta, you'd be like, yep, that's Atlanta. Look at these small houses in this area and look at them going from there. And to me, that was the amazing part that he put in, like you said, Sean, the intellectual version. But when you saw it, Alicia, in your intro to that when it first came on, what was your impression?
Well, let's get some history background on Donald Glover, okay? So we know that he is a recording artist and he performed under the stage of Childish Gambino. He also is a disc jockey. He performed as a name of MC DJ. He first came to the attention of his work with Derek Comedy, and with the help of Tina Fey, was hired at the age of 21 to become a writer on the NBC comedy series 30 Rock. So his background and his talent speaks volumes. He was on the sitcom Community. He actually, because he left, I think the show actually went down because he left the show. And they tried to keep the show running. And
no, it didn't go down because of him. It went down because the creator was kicked off.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The creator of Community was kicked off his own show.
Right. Very good.
And he was like, are you kidding me?
That's right.
So that's why Danny was like, man, I'm out of here.
And so, you know, he then you didn't hear no more about him. All of a sudden, we started seeing little bits and pieces of Atlanta. And, you know, we were like, what the hell is this? What is, you know, you start seeing little bits. It's like, and they walking backwards in the commercial. We was like, that shit is cool as hell. Wow. So when the show actually came out, when you saw that pilot series, it was amazing. I was so impressed with that. It shows just what black people are. This is what black people are here in Atlanta. We're not no ghetto. We're not, poor. We are successful in our own way. We find a way in Atlanta because Atlanta's like got everything here. And he basically said, okay, he found out about his cousin being a rapper. And so he was like, what the hell? Let me try to find him. Maybe I can help him. And that's how Atlanta is. With Atlanta, I'm not just talking about being a musician. If you want to be an entrepreneur here, it's just like what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Just like that, starting from scratch. And so when I seen that, I was so in love with the show. It was so smart. It was just everything that I would expect a TV show should be.
So that introduction on the first was just building all the characters that you knew. But what said, I'm going to watch this every week. I don't even want to see it recorded. If I could sit down and watch it as it come on, because like some shows, you can binge watch it and just record them and leave there. But Atlanta is almost like you have to sit there and wait. So the second half of that half hour that was on took me to another level because that was the jail scene. And the jail scene had so many things in it that it was political, it was society based, it was so many things in that one half hour that people still talk about it today.
It was amazing. That was Clay County Jail. That was Clay County Jail right there. Like when I seen that, I was like, man, he hit it on the nail. Yep. He hit it on the nail.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, here in Atlanta, like, wow. Nobody knows that. Nobody understands Atlanta. So, when I tell people that, okay, listen, you better have your driver's license and your tags better be all right and you better have insurance. Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to jail. And guess what happens in Atlanta? You don't have a driver's license.
They'll forget about you. they'll put you in there, and you won't even have a court date.
Yep. But you're sitting and waiting. You're sitting and waiting.
And so, you're just waiting.
Yep. So, Sean, go with it.
Somebody would really have to actually put an effort into getting you out or speaking on it. Or you got to have the bread.
Yep.
Or you got to have the bread. You ain't got the bread, man, you sitting in there. You know what I'm saying? There's people in there right now. When they was like, man, my homeboy out of there. You know what I'm saying? That's because he had the bread.
Yep.
You know, and that's why he was still sitting in there talking to everybody, because them was folks that didn't have the bread. Oh, well, you don't have a bond. It don't matter. Out here, it don't matter. If you got the bread, they going to put a bond up.
And the chick told him, he said, why my cousin can't get out? She said, this ain't TV. I was like, damn. I was like, that's right. It ain't TV. She's like, that nigga going to be here.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Now, Danny,
so, but Sean, when back to the point when you said that was Clayton County sitting there forever. The conversations that went on throughout there was just so amazing. And it's the people you know and you walk into and you can sit next to in Martyr and they can tell you the same type of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark, when you saw that, what was your impression of it? Because this is stuff we already know, but what did you take from it?
Well, you know, we don't have it that way, but so many people get lost in the system, and that's what I saw. I mean, I was amazed at the realness of, okay, well, what you're in here for, what you're in here for.
Right.
With that particular show, if you're sitting there looking for stereotypes, you won't find them. Everybody
exactly.
in there works. The father and the mother works. The guys that were in the county worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they ended up getting caught up in something.
The guys were sitting on the porch drinking a beer.
Oh, no, that's not the half of it.
Yeah,
no, let Sean finish. I mean, let Mark finish.
He was on the porch. He was like, hey, you know, I'm on the porch drinking with this guy, and all of a sudden, you know, I got caught up. You know, so, I mean, just looking at that. And then the thing that got me, this is what got me. All over the country, there are so many people in prison with mental disabilities.
Yep.
With
right.
And just seeing that, it's like, okay, well, we'll put you through the system. And like Sean said, if nobody is over there going to get you out, then you'll just dance through the system back and forth. You'll in and out. This guy is in there in a hospital gown.
Yep.
He's in there with a hospital gown on. And, you know, they didn't find that to be, abnormal.
Abnormal,
like, okay, yeah. Yeah, he's in, you know, and then he's going to go over there and he does his usual drink from the
toilet
bowl. And then, you know, and then spits it at the guy. And I'm sitting here going, that's it.
Yep.
The mental illness, you know, the mental illness is there. But nobody's addressing it as that. They're addressing it as, okay, well, he's another criminal here in the county. Just move on over.
And that's everywhere. That's everywhere. The sickness of that and the reality of that was they knew he had mental illness. They knew it.
Yes.
Well, the one thing that a lot of people don't realize with Donald Glover is that he was born and raised in California. But he was born in California and raised in Stone Mountain, Georgia. So that means that he has everything that you see in the show is his experience living in Georgia, living in Stone Mountain, living in the surrounding Atlanta areas. So where you say that, okay, the whole mental thing, and like in New York City, the mental illness in New York City, a lot of them are abandoned in the streets of New York City. And here in Georgia, you see more of them in the prisons because, again, you just don't know. They don't have no place to put them. And so his perspective I really love because everything that you see is what we experience as parents, as individuals. You know, for example, my brother's down here. You know, he's living here in Georgia, too. But we told him several times what the rules was, how he had to follow here in Georgia. And he was like, well, they don't do that in New York City. Well, baby, you know, that's why y'all have to pay $10,000 in back pay of your tickets. Here in Georgia, one ticket, you need to pay it. You got to pay it. And so the experience that Donald Glover is doing in the show is exactly how it is in real life here. Exactly. You know, it's you know, you don't see a lot of crazy stuff happening because it's just a lot of black in the surrounding Atlanta areas. And so the show is just talking about, you know, how, you know, how young men and women, you know, his girl is like, dude, you know, you got to take care of me, you know, or you got to help me. And, you know, she knows he'll help her, but he's also having that struggle too.
Yeah. So with her, which is, she's a great character too. So I really love her character. Her character to me is that support that says, you know, black women in Atlanta are doing their thing. So she's holding it down. She ain't asking him to take care of me. She said, do what your ass supposed to do. You got a child, and if you living up in here, you're going to have to contribute. So black women in Atlanta ain't looking for a man to say, come in, I need you. They looking to say, you need to goddamn contribute, not do that. So her character is a strong, educated woman. And, you know, we can jump an episode when we find out who her mother is, which was, like, really crazy in itself. But that's, to me, was so exciting. But then when you jumped into it, and that was a great segue, to jump into, like, the third episode is when she said, you don't do anything. We don't do anything. And he was like, look, I'll take you out to dinner. And he's asking his boys, yo, where should I take her? For the little bit amount of money that I have, because he works at the airport trying to do some sales, and he get like $90 a week. And he was like, damn, how do I stretch this? And that the fact that they was going around, and that happens in Atlanta. Mark, if you saw that episode when they was trying to get parking, and that guy had a stolen vest with a lightsaber in his hands, they always out there, hey, I got you covered, just give me the money, I'll take care of your car.
That's so normal.
That's normal.
That is so normal. Man, like, I'm looking at that like, oh, man, he's going to pay when he pull up to this parking lot. You know what I'm saying? Yep. I already knew. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So that's the phenomenal thing about the reality that people say, oh, that's just so comical. Why he put that in there? No, that's not comical. That's
not
real.
That's
the real thing. And his girl, when they get into the restaurant, she said, you brought me here. So, yeah, I'm going to order. And he's like sweating like, damn, man. What happened to the happy hour meals? What's going on? So, and that was just extraordinary. Then he did it to a couple. These are the relationships that you have. There's guys that don't work, but still want to hold on to a strong black woman, but you still got to do certain things to hold on to them, but you just can't just say, hey, look, I'm just going to be there. You can't do that. And he wanted to show that and say, look, I'm struggling, but I got to do something for my girl. I got to do it. And that's what they said. And then the guy said, hey, could you give me a list of the bill? He said, nigga, you broke. I was like, damn. And that's true. They were like, man, you broke like that? You broke to the mob, man, and then just walked away. So that was extraordinary. So, Mark, when we talking about that, these are the things not only that either we experienced or seen or things that we kind of honestly, like Sean is saying, we kind of take for granted and we move on because it happens all the time. But I love to see – that's why when you looking at it, that perspective of somebody looking at it and saying if that's real or if it's not, I would love to always say, nope, all of that you said is real. And there was I read an article that one of the guys said that this is the black version of Twin Peaks. It was a series long time ago called Twin Peaks, and it was like a weird town, and things was just so odd all the time. And this is like the black version of that. But the writing was just so great. And that's how they said, hey, look, it's extraordinary, visionary things that people really don't get.
Yeah. And, well, what I saw in that episode, like you said, I'm sitting there going, no, I wouldn't park my car with this guy. But like you said, if that's the only parking you have,
then that's it.
Yep.
And people take advantage of it. It's like, hey, you give me some money, I'll tell you when the meter maid is coming by. You know, or they're going to tow your car. You know, I just saw when at the end where he said, look, I went all out. I took this bill to the extreme. And then I got on the phone and
yep.
said, somebody stole
somebody
my
stole
car.
My car.
Oh,
exactly.
I was screaming. I said, wow. You know, as kids, we understood. It was like, you don't go in that restaurant if you ain't got that kind of money. Or if you look at the menu, we always knew that the cheapest thing on the menu is the kids' meal.
Mm-hmm.
If the kids' meal is freaking $20, then just imagine what your meal is going to be. You know, so you don't go in there like that. But like you said, he had the pressure of saying, if I want to keep this woman, I'm going to find me a spot.
Yep.
And the guy who tried to give him the hookup, it was like, yo, man, this is what, you know, boom, boom, boom. I mean, there's so much of the nightlife
mm-hmm.
that the young people like to engage in. You know, it's like, okay, when you get older, then, okay, you want to go out, but you don't stress going out. You stress taking care of family.
That's when you
and
get older.
He was doing,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he was doing neither.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, look.
But that was one thing that he didn't like, because he said that. He said, I don't like hanging out. I don't like going out.
He don't like going to the club.
Yeah, he didn't like going to the clubs. And this is, and the thing is that when you, the thing is that here in Atlanta, there's a standard of living. You, I mean, you know, if you want to get a good meal, you have to go to a fine, you got to go to a fine dining restaurant. She ain't want to go Burger King. We, you know, nobody want to go to, you know, those other restaurants. He said that he was going to take her out to a restaurant, and he had to take her to a restaurant fine dining. And he, and Atlanta is, there's huge, excuse me, a huge restaurants that are fine dining that's, you know, you want to go to. You have to look good going there. So even if you don't have the money, and it's known here in Atlanta, you don't got the money, like you said, you order, and then you call your credit card company and said somebody stole your credit card. You know, that's just how it is. And again, excuse me, Atlanta don't look like any other place. You know, and you can see the like, oh, the scenery he did in his shows is real. You know, walking down the street in Atlanta, all the greenery, all the trees, the rich areas. That's exactly how it looks. The houses, the way they are, exactly how it looks. And I'm so glad that he, you know, he, when he did the show, he did it here in Atlanta and showed the true look of Atlanta. And the other characters, you know, they were just, you know, they're crazy.
So that's great.
Yeah.
And that's where I wanted to segue to that, because, you know, the main character is Earn, in a sense. His character, the Donald Glover. But my favorite character is Darius. Darius, Big Paperboy's partner, is amazing. That dude is just, you never know what's coming out of his mouth. You never know how he sees things. There's always some kind of logic in there that he says, but in other ways, it's just straight outrageous. And I'm looking at when, you know, he told the guy, hey, breakfast cup. And he was like, you made that up. And he said, everything's made up. Stay woke. You know? Like, it's obvious. Everything is made up. But he says little quips in there that then you're like, God damn, that's right. And he's amazing. So the other one, because when they went out to talk to the Migos, you know, and that guy just shot that guy out in the woods. And they was like, people was like, where the hell are you at? Oh, that's Atlanta, all right. That's just out in Conyers somewhere.
Exactly.
Or if you go down to Covington, that's what you see. Or you go out to a little further out toward Lithia Springs, and that's what you see. It's here. It's 20 minutes or less, you get to a spot just like that in the middle of the woods, and that's it. And it was just so crazy to see. These are the interaction of the different type of people that you will constantly interact with.
Redneck.
In Atlanta or the surrounding counties of Atlanta. Because it's just, you know, when they went out there and they were even afraid because they was like, yeah, we sell drugs. You know, he said, how do you make all that money? We sell drugs. He said, what? Yeah, we sell drugs. But anyway, and then he just moved on. It was a matter of fact. It wasn't, yeah, well, I sell drugs. Or he was like, yeah, man, I'm the biggest drug dealer out here. No, he just said, we sell drugs. That's it. And they moved on. And then remember the discussion, Sean, when they was talking about naming his gun? And that was a whole conversation about the name of his gun. He said, what's the name of your gun? Gun. I was like...
You still got, I'm telling you, this is like, the show is amazing. It's just so funny because when we were living in Riverdale, we was like, man, we need somebody to cut the grass. And black folks don't want to cut nobody grass. Hey, let's get a redneck. Hey, rednecks are all right. As long as they see green, they'll cut your grass really good. And that's how, you know, it's like, you know who you're dealing with here in Atlanta. You know who you're dealing with. And if it comes down to the money, that's how it is. And they know who to deal with. This is what makes it so great. They knew who to deal with. That boy Darius knew who to deal with. It's like he been all over the place. He know everybody.
So the two that I kind of, you know, I won't say I didn't like it, but I think the two weakest episodes was the one with the black Beavis. When they went to the basketball?
Tournament.
Basketball the tournament loop. I didn't like that one too much. I mean, it was good, you know, but it didn't have the meat of it like the other ones. And the one when he had his girl who, you know, was smoking weed with her other best friend. That interaction between two was a good thing to see the type of women in Atlanta. I thought that was really good, but it didn't take it to, I guess, a more, you know, potent level. But in the end, it was so, you know, wow. She told her, look, I'm letting you know I'm smoking. She said, oh, that's great. Everybody smokes around here. But since you had to tell me, you're fired.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that was...
But that's what they do.
Yeah, and I think that was really, really interesting because I know girls like that, you know? And there's just a rule. Everybody smoke weed. And, you know, we just don't tell nobody. Or we know, but you're here in Georgia, they what test them. Maybe they don't really test them because it's expensive. So they kind of know how the system works, the people who use the system. But I thought it was really cool that she got caught up in something that she shouldn't have and realized that she messed up. But then in the end, she fucked over herself. She really did. And I thought that was much as real as you can get it.
So what value, Sean, what value did you get from those two? So those are the two that was in the middle. That was episode 5 and 6.
For me personally, I thought that drug test thing, it was my life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that what?
Her having to try to figure out where to get some piss from and pass a drug test, that is like the most normal thing out here that happened.
Right.
You know, and the funny part about it is people who work at, you know, everybody who works machinery, anything that go wrong, you got to take a drug test.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And so you got to figure out, you know, in that time, where to get some piss from, or what you all do to pass that drug test. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so right.
There's successful people and there's unsuccessful people. Right. You know, so I thought that was extremely potent for me to show it. And for you, you've seen it as regular because that's not what you. You know what I'm saying? Right. For me, I've seen it as, what you gonna do? What she call Paperboy?
And he's like, what you calling me for?
All right, let me find something for you. You know what I'm saying? You knew he was gonna find some.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so for me personally, I was just like, okay, she got the piss. She gonna pass the drug test. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then she couldn't open the condom. I was like, You gonna drop it with the gold dish. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I thought that was exciting for me.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
To see somebody else's situation. You know what I'm saying?
That they had to go through. Right. Okay.
That was extremely potent, man. So as times have changed, you know, you don't have that problem. You're not gonna have that problem no more. But our generation has had that problem. You know what I'm saying? That is a problem. You know, like we got past drug tests.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the standard. It's the standard.
All of us.
Yeah. No matter what, even if you know everybody in the building smoke weed, everybody. But when is your turn to take the test? It's not, nobody's taking the test. It's when you're going to take the test. Because sooner or later, it's going to swing around to you. Now, you know, we can easily say, man, I ain't worrying about it. I don't smoke no weed. Yeah, but that's just not part of your life. But you got a lot of people, that's part of their life, and they have to deal with it accordingly. So to your point, that's a good perspective. That's why I kind of ask. The perspective is, yo, when it is part of my life and it shouldn't be illegal because states are actually legalizing it, but we still got to deal with some old BS around here, this is just part of my life. Just like anybody else who will drink a 40 or a bottle of vodka or gin, that's legal. But they can still do that. But I can't smoke weed because you say it's still federally wrong. So I see your perspective of a person who lives through that and say, look, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So great perspective on that. Mark, did you see any between the two, the black Justin Bieber one or the Van with the weed?
Okay. What's so funny is, on both of them, I see two totally different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy first. I got to take it back to the basketball game.
Okay.
What happens in the entertainment industry? So many people say, "Okay, I like this guy, and it's okay if Justin Bieber." I mean, somebody like Justin Bieber becomes this bad boy. That you know, he was the lollipop bubblegum clean guy, and all of a sudden he wants to be a rebel. And now you got a real rebel, and it's like, okay. But the lady said, she whispered in his ear, know your role.
Yeah, know your role.
Exactly. So you will never be the clean, squeaky cut guy until
it's time. Yep,
until it's time. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, so he went from being this squeaky guy to this bad boy rebellion, and then he comes right back, and at the end, he's singing some lollipop, everybody come together song.
Mm-hmm.
And Paperboy looking at him like, it's some old and, you know.
But she tells him know his role,
Yeah, exactly. She told him to know his role. That's why I was like, wow, you know, how the entertainment industry takes artists and say, okay, and we'll maximize the amount of money we make if we pigeonhole them in a particular thing there.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw with that one, because it was like, okay, they have these celebrity basketball tournaments, and depending on who's in it, then that's when they show it on television, or that's when they're highlighted on one of those entertainment shows.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, they have a tournament. They probably have one right now while we're talking. You know.
Yep, the amount of them that's out there. Yep.
Exactly, but they're not showing it. But back to the other one where the urine, I was on the floor. Because, you know, I'm sitting here looking at her squeeze the baby diaper, and she got a strainer going on. She's just staying here,
so,
and I'm screaming. I'm going, wow. You know, and for me, that was my job. My job was the thing that they were talking about at my job, they said, you get paid X amount of money not to smoke weed. So, you know, it was like, okay, if your lifestyle dictates that's what you do, then this job might not be for you.
Right, right.
But what was the irony was the boss said, yeah, we smoke weed all the time. And we know that the only year at the beginning of the year we send out the test. The rest of the year we don't send out the test.
Yeah. They said we don't even send them in. We just have to do them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. And it was like, yeah, so you know, you come in here telling me that you did it, you know, I understand and I appreciate your honesty, but you're fired. And since you told me, this is what got me, said, since you told me today, we'll say that you told me on Friday. That way you have 2 weeks to go out there and look for a new job. And I'm like, wow, really? You fired me, and then you're giving me 2 weeks notice. That way it looks safe for my next employer, you know. And I just sitting there listening to it, I'm like, wow, how many people end up jumping into a program in order to save their jobs?
Yep.
You know, it's like, yeah, well, look, I can't stop smoking this weed, man, so I'm going to jump into this program.
And they go like, well, the program is good, so I'm going to have to allow you because you told me you had a problem and we do have a program, so you're allowed to get on it. Which is like, wow, really?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
But the diaper thing is real, though. So even though it looked like that shit is real, Mark. You know, I've had people that say, yo, I just used it for my child's, you know, I had the diaper and it was fresh and I just squeezed that out and I had it. And I was like, how crazy is that? And, you know, but it's something you know about. And this is why this show is so amazing to me, because you may not know about it, or somebody down here may not even roll into somebody who was that desperate. But that's the reality. Like what Sean was saying.
Situations, right.
What Sean's saying, we just got hookups. Yo, bruh. Hey, look, I'll just tell my son to piss for you. It's going to cost you $40. You got it.
Exactly.
That's it. They sell piss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's all it is.
Makes me laugh because the comedians used to say it. It was like, okay, now if you're a male, female urine, and then mess around and the woman's pregnant, you know, or the temperature is not right. You know, all these factors now, I mean, right now they're even doing hair samples and they're going to get blood samples eventually. But then, like you said, when will this stuff catch up to when they legalize marijuana?
Yeah, but that takes away a whole industry, though. So legalization of marijuana takes away a whole industry. The prison industry, the testing industry, it takes away a whole industry. Unless, you know, it goes into, you know, where the majority of white America has this heroin addiction, you know, then we have to move it toward that. But, you know, black people love their weed, so we good. We don't worry about the rest of that. But that's what's so crazy. But here's one of my favorite episodes. One of my favorite episodes was the club. When he went in the club and the guy that's supposed to pay him kept disappearing within the crowd. And he kept trying to find him. And he was disappearing in the club. And the guy was like, yo, this slippery mug, you know, and he was disappearing. But the relationship with Paperboy and the people that was there, when that young lady said, look, you here to have a good time. You wanted to be around beautiful young woman, and I wanted to be around a star. That's all it is. So if that's not what you wanted, I'm not sure what you're here for. And it was like so blunt and real up front. He just had to look at it like, ain't that some shit? But the reality was, that's what you go to the club for. But then when earned was at the bar when that guy slipped behind the wall and that other girl was just saying, look, man, this is the reality. This is the reality. And she was just schooling him. I was like, wow, what a conversation.
But that was, that's what I took out of that particular episode, because like you said, what are you there for?
Yep.
And that goes all the way back to the first episode. If you're, if you went to the club and you're ready to go home, you go home.
Yep.
You don't hang out in the parking lot to say, okay, what's next? Something's got to pop off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, boom. This young lady at the bar, that's what got me, before the young lady that was sitting in the quote-unquote VIP section.
Right, right.
She's like, yeah, well, I'm going with my man, and I'm going to blank. Yeah, the young lady at the bar said quite simply, why are you here?
Yeah,
If you're here for blank, then this is what you're here for. If you're here for this, then this is what you're here for. You could be anywhere else, you know.
But this is where you're at.
Guy,
mm-hmm.
Exactly, this is where you're at. Exactly. And the guy, the club owner, it's too many times that people in the industry get stiffed by the club owner who says, okay, well, I'm going to disappear. And then by the time he finishes counting his money, then he comes up to you and says, okay, well, we're kind of short.
Because of you.
His situation.
Yeah, because
exactly.
of you. Not because of I'm shorting you. I'm giving you, you had more drinks, you had to have more of this. They'll come up with anything in order to get their money.
Yes, exactly. And that's what made me laugh when he beat him up and he said, hey, that boy's going places.
Yeah, he's going places.
And then called the police on him.
Yeah, they still called him.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
But when Paperboy, when Earn showed up in there, and he was drinking too much, and he just threw up right on the floor. I was like, what the hell?
Exactly. That was so funny.
Like, he really, where's my... I ain't want my money. Like, what? And Paperboy just throwing up, and he taking his beer. This boy said, man, you need to handle your business better than that, and walked out the door. So I just thought there was so many levels in there with the great conversations and the irony of certain things. And what topped it off was the invisible car. And that was the most funniest damn thing, because he showed him earlier, because, you know, Darius was like, look, man, he even got an invisible car. Here's the pictures. And he was like, man, get out of here with that bull. And then when they was popping off in the parking lot, he rolled off and knocking people off down in the invisible car. I was like, damn.
Oh my God.
But you know, we moved on from the club, but we missed the kind of Dave Chappelle montage episode. When he was talking to the professors and the host about black men who's
transracial.
Yeah, transracial. Yeah, trans.
Hey, you know what? I thought that was an awesome episode. The reason why I thought it was an awesome episode is because that doesn't happen often anymore on shows.
Nope.
Where he put a show on a show.
Yep.
First off, I was like, okay, that's brilliant. Okay, outside the box. Then I watched the commercials twice.
Yep.
Because I thought they were just regular commercials.
Yep, some of them you thought they were real.
Yes.
So I originally watched it, and I was like, all right, let me go get something to eat from the kitchen. And then but the second time around, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, oh, man, no. You know what I'm saying? When they were talking about the switch and swing.
Yep.
And then he pulled his blade out and took his tobacco out. I was like, what is going on? You know what I'm saying? And at first, that was the point where I had to ask myself, is this racist? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was the point. I was like, hold on. Is this racist right here? Because I don't know if I like this or not. And then I had to ask myself, like, hold on. If we had the opportunity to have commercials, this is how the commercials would be.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so why are you even mad at this, Sean? Because this isn't, how could you call this racist? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just, that was my favorite. That was that point, and also the point to where, this is the thing about Atlanta, and this is what I learned about Atlanta. This is why I like Paperboy. Paperboy shows you a view that you wouldn't, the average person wouldn't say or see.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be politically correct, but his opinion isn't wrong.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
He said, I don't want to sleep with no man. I ain't got to like that man.
Right. I learned a lot of that just in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different views here. And there's strippers. You know what I'm saying? And people down strippers. But I grew up in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? You have to come up to a conclusion that these are people trying to make money, man.
Yep. It's an occupation. It's an occupation down here.
That's it. You know, so you got to start looking at everything a little bit different. For me personally, so, you know, I looked at that show that he did the show, and he was giving his perspective. You know what I'm saying? And he was also on the show letting them know, I don't know what y'all are doing. I'm just saying, don't be mad at me for having my view. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, serious. You know, so I enjoyed that because that's what it is in Atlanta. You have to understand that people are expressing who they feel that they are.
Yep.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
and
Leisha, when you saw it,
when
you saw that, do you remember the montage one when he sat there and they was talking about, not Bruce Jenner, it's his new name, and he was like, I don't have to like that man. You know what I mean?
You talking about when it was sitting there having that discussion with that woman?
Yeah, with the panel and everything.
That was crazy. Because the woman was just, that white woman was like, okay, you're just racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just racist. And I'm like, okay, where is this going? Where is this going? And then at the end, it's like,
She agreed with him.
It's like, okay, so this is how white people really think in the end. Like, you know, they already had their mindset on one thing until you actually convince them otherwise. I was like, but the commercials was awesome.
Yeah.
Commercial was awesome. And like Sean said, you couldn't kind of tell which one. You just like, okay, is that a commercial or is that commercial?
Yeah. Like the Dodge commercial. That's all they showed. People driving around in a Dodge until he jumped out of the car. Without no pants on.
Yeah, man.
And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, man. His wife got divorced. No, she asked for it. All he wanted was a damn Dodge car. He's like, all he do is just drive around in there. Like, and then he come out the car naked. Gas and keep on driving. And we're like, oh, my God. It was hilarious. It was. It had a lot of, like I said, it was creative. Because he had, and I think that's what he wanted. He wanted to fool you into thinking that you were actually watching a show with a commercial.
But what Sean said, it was a show within a show with commercials,
mm-hmm.
which was like, wow, how genius is that? So not only am I going to show a show within a show, I'm going to make sure you even have the commercials. So even the commercials with the kids with the cereal and the cop saying and pulling the wolf down and say, hey, back off, you know, don't steal their cereal. He said, I'm a fucking wolf. I could be eating these kids. And I was like, damn. And it just showed, if you put that into another perspective of what was going on, he wanted to show that. And I was like, wow, how crazy is that? But he did it all within a show of a show, which, you know, to me was amazing to kind of throw that in the middle of a series when Paperboy was actually just having his opinion on different people. And then this multiracial or whatever that transracial guy, and he was just like, look at his head. He looked like what was it? The Goju. He was the Goju.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just amazing the way how he did it. And you're right, Sean. It's I didn't even think about a show within a show, but then I realized it was a show within a show with the commercials. So he wanted to say, if you was looking at my show as a reality, then this would be the show, and it would have, you know, commercials within it. So he took it on a on levels to get you to see it in so different of a way. But amazing. So we jump into the right before the end was the Juneteenth when, you know, Vanessa rolled up in to the Juneteenth celebration, and they showed all of the Juneteenth singers and the sororities, and all of them was there, and it looked like she was going because someone was going to help her get a job. And then you realize that was her mother, and she married this white man who thought he knew everything about black people, who went to Africa, studied it, and then...
Hold on. That was her mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her mom.
I didn't know that was her mom.
See?
So that's her dad, or that's her stepdad?
No, that's her stepdad, because she wanted the money. She didn't want to be happy. She wanted the money.
Right.
And they kind of had that discussion. Remember when they sat there, she kind of promoted it in a sense, and the dialogue rolled up until you heard like small snippets of "Thanks, Mom," and then she kind of said it, but they never lingered on a mother-daughter thing. They lingered on the conversation as opposed to mother-daughter, but it was thrown out there twice, and it was just really, really interesting of all of that. That dialogue and the way blacks were, and it was like he asked for a drink, and he was like, "Yo, nigga, read the menu." And I was like, "Look at these menus. I'll have a slave master, such and such." You know, it's like, are you kidding me? And it was the tears and the levels that he put in, because you're centering on the characters, but there's things in the background that you see, or he'll give you a small section of something, and then he move on. And I think one of the most things that a lot of people kind of missed was when she wanted him to continue to lie to make her look good. And then when he told her friends of, you know, she's the best mother. I don't do anything. She does everything. I'm not even worthy of her. You know, I love her to the point because she does, and she makes me a better man and doing all that. And it hurt her because she told him to lie. And she didn't know if this was a lie or if it was the truth. And her reaction to that, people lost that it was like she was just tired of being there. No, she didn't know, because she said, come here and lie for me and be somebody else so I can look well. Until he got to the end and said, man, I got to get the hell up out of here. You know what I mean? And she was like, wow, I got to go too. But that part right there was so, I think it was, it's in a relationship, do you need to lie all the time in order to sustain a relationship? Do you need to lie to show that you're someone else when you really someone else? What do you really accept in a relationship? And to me, that said so much during that interaction with her sorority girls.
I just want to just make it plain that when the white husband said, I know I recognize you from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You're Superboy's manager. You were on the thing there. And I said, wow. You know, for somebody to study, this is what you study? Are you an anthropologist for black people? What is it that you do? And he continued to talk about his trip, and he continued to talk about this, and he said, I know you from somewhere. And he said, well, what do you think? You know all black people? You know, you recognize us from something? Right. And sure enough, he was like, wow.
I know you.
I know you from somewhere. And then the valet said, yeah, can you get Paperboy to sign this for my sister?
He's like, get back to work, God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I understand that Northern and Southern images, like here in New York, yes, there are fraternities and sororities, but we don't click like that. Down there, there's cliques.
And yeah, if you're not down with the clique, you're not down with the crew, you know, whatever crew it is, your opportunities are limited.
Yep.
And, you know, I can see where she's like, okay, look, I just lost my job. My mom is trying to help me out. So let me bring my man over there, you know, because at first it was thought that it was her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when she realized that she wasn't married to him, and, you know, they were just in a relationship, it was like, okay, so now we got to hide that. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, okay, he worked at the airport, and now he's a promoter.
A rapper's manager. Not even a promoter.
Yeah, a rapper's manager. And the mother made it plain that it was like, yeah, well, you know, there's a rapper all over the place. And she was really trying to make his job seem negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's like, okay, so do I hide that? And then it's like, okay, like you said, once he said what he said about her, it was like, wow, is that what I represent for this man here? And in some aspects, it was. It was like she put up with his stuff in order for him to be successful. So I don't remember if he gets the money from Paperboy in that episode
That's in the jacket episodes. So you know.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
He brings the money to her. When it comes down, when I get some money, I'm going to bring it. It's not like he was a shiesty guy. It's just he didn't have the means to support her.
At that time.
And at that time.
Right.
Yeah. I think one of the most important things that was missed on the show, it was brilliant. When he was sitting down and he was talking to the white guy, and he was like your descent. You must have this and that descent or whatnot. And it was funny because to me it pointed out the fact that these white people know more about our features and our descent than we know.
Yeah.
We can't even trace back anything from us. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the white guy said, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That tops me for the show. You know,
I
also feel like what you guys are saying, that's normal. You know, that's for me. I feel like that's a lot of us that's a lot of guys in my age range, what we went through and are going through in life. Trying to keep a down smart chick that know how to hold something down and still try to be successful and have a dream. You know, so I'm seeing that like, man, he really just, he loved that woman. First off, he loved her because he downplayed himself. Off that, like, you know, I'm doing this for you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I thought the show was great. He didn't kiss ass. He seen the opportunity. He knew this was an opportunity, and he blew it away because he didn't feel comfortable being that person they wanted him to be.
Right.
You know?
But he knew he had to do it for her, though. He knew he had to do this for her. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we go into the last episode, which was, to me, summarized everything that he was doing for the whole series. Because what he did was, how am I going to live? You know, I got my stuff. I've been sleeping at my parents. I've been sleeping with my girl's house. I've been sleeping at my boy's house. I got to take responsibility. But you didn't know what it was. So at the beginning of it, it was, where's my jacket? So throughout the whole show, All you thought was, what's so special about this damn jacket? And you didn't realize what was special was a key to where he lived. And you didn't, when I saw that, I was like, wow. And he could have stayed there with his girl, but he, in his mind and heart, he was like, I gotta show her that I can't keep doing this and showing her that I'm not doing something. I gotta show her that what I'm doing is more, even if I gotta live in a storage shed. You know what I mean? And I was thought that was, but how you got to that point was just so amazing. And then they showed how cops can be excessive. And it was right there. And they drove in the car and was like, man, that was kind of messed up. And then he was like, yeah, but it was kind of cool too. So we see that, and we're so, you know, what is the word when you don't even have any feelings about it no more, and it becomes a natural occurrence. You become numb from that. And you find like, wow, we was in the middle of a sting. Wow, that was kind of crazy. And, you know, they was like, do you know Fernando's what you call it? And Darius is like, F money? I was like, this dude knows everything, you know? So that was just so amazing to get to a point, and he just had a jacket as a metaphor of his need to have something of his own. And you didn't really realize that. And then I'm going to go back to what you said, Sean, about the strip club and the strippers. This stripper was there for 2 years, and she said, I've been here for 2 years. I know every woman that's up inside of here. Everyone else would say, that's crazy. She's been there for 2 years. You need to get a better job.
And I didn't catch that. I didn't even catch that because, like I said, that's normal.
It's normal. You know, so it's an occupation here in Atlanta. Exactly. Strippers are an occupation.
Yes, that's a job.
It's a job. And he did it so easily. Yeah. And you can't forget the Chick-fil-A free biscuit day.
I was on the floor because I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sean,
yeah. In Atlanta, it's big.
Think about
here.
It. Sean, you know it. Leisha, you know it.
Yeah, it's big down here.
If you dress up as a freaking cow, you can get a free biscuit.
Yeah, for the kids and everything. It's free, and I mean, they and the thing is that radio station, Facebook, Twitter, I mean, when they say they're giving away anything free from Chick-fil-A, you can forget about it. Everybody goes. It's known here. We started here. Chick-fil-A was big here. So, yeah, that's how it is in here in Atlanta with Chick-fil-A.
But the scene was amazing because you was walking down the street and you'd be like, is it Halloween? And then it was kind of like, wait a minute. That's the Chick-fil-A cow. Then I was like, uh-oh. Then he was like, Chick-fil-A biscuit day, nigga. And just kept walking. Yeah. And then you was like, okay. And then he walks to the next scene with eating a Chick-fil-A biscuit.
Yep.
Because even though people dressed up like that, they still was going to give you a biscuit anyway. Or a sandwich.
Well, Chick-fil-A
sandwich.
They do that. Yep, they do that.
They just do that. But it gave you that weird type scene that it only happens in Atlanta. You don't see that anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't, unless it's a seasonal thing. Oh, it's a 4th of July, if it's Halloween, is it, you know, all these little different things. We have these things that go on in Atlanta that's synonymous with Atlanta. And it was just so crazy, the transition of trying to find that jacket. And it was like, what? What the hell does he need? That jacket ain't that important. He didn't even say at the beginning, I need to find my jacket because it has my keys in it.
It has my keys.
He didn't say that. He wanted you to think all the way through that it was only about a jacket. That's it. But so that was the last series. So I can't wait till next season. I'm just hoping he already wrote some, so he won't be changing the way he writes. But I think he's such a brilliant writer that I don't think he will be changing much at all. You know, I think they're going to try to pressure him to do that. But I'm just hoping he's because he's just that good. He'll walk away from anything because he just has. Mm-hmm. You know, if he wrote for 30 Rock and they all got awards for those series, he got writing awards with that too. So he's good.
That's right.
So if they say, I won't allow you to do Atlanta the way you did, he'd be like, you know what? That's the end of Atlanta. Sorry, I'm done. And you know what? Somebody else is going to pay him to do another show. But closing it out, Leisha, your thoughts of the series for Atlanta?
It's an amazing series. It's true to Atlanta. I love the characters. They're not ghetto. It shows just how Atlanta is. You have your uppity, bougie black people as well as your average black people trying to make it in Atlanta. And I think I'm very impressed how he has represented Atlanta. And I mean, the thing is that he is not racist. It's like he's not even focusing on white folks. It's just about him. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes it good, because it's like, you know, you're thinking that he's going to find something racist and attack white people. It was nothing like that. It's everything about Atlanta and how the mixture, how we all connect in some form of fashion, no matter what color we are, you know? And so it's going to be a huge success. His show is going to be a really, really huge success. I think that even white critics are loving it. They're giving it huge, huge, thumbs up because of his show. So, yeah. Big shout out to DeJour, our tax guy who was in the club scene. He did an awesome job.
Yeah, our actual tax accountant was in the club scene. He's a budding actor, and he showed up. He's like, that guy looks familiar. And it was DeJour. So big up to DeJour, big actor, trying to make things happen. He showed up. So
pretty he actually cool said something.
Yeah, he had a line in there. The guy that was pouring the champagne and Paperboy like, what you doing, man? Oh, I was about to pour you some. He's like, nah. And then he just start talking and, you know, but big up on that. Sean, your thoughts?
A side note on that. In the clubs, you have to pay for you sitting down. So if you don't have a VIP, you're standing up. So that episode, that's why everybody was just in the area, because they don't have enough seats in the club. So when they was leaning in and grabbing other people's bottles and stuff, like, man, that's what they do. And it's like I said, it's so funny because, you know, you're pointing out certain things, man, and those are just normal things. And that's why, for me, I think the show was so great, because it just fits the time.
Right.
You know, it's so accurate with the city, and Atlanta is like, it's like California to some people. People dream to come to Atlanta.
Yeah.
People dream to go to California.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So for us to be, for a show named Atlanta, and then to honestly expose us and show all of our secrets all over again, now all the white people are going to be, it's going to be so many shows trying to bite off of this show now that it's just going to be really ridiculous. But again, the show is just really good. It's so genuine. It has so many jewels in it, man, that you're going to be able to tell who's taking from it. It has so many jewels in it that next year it's just going to bounce off of it so well. It's literally just a little piece to the puzzle.
Absolutely.
What Leisha said, Ms. Leisha said, she said that it shows him starting from the bottom. It shows him just figuring it all out. And being the manager in Atlanta, you know, music is big in Atlanta. This is like the music town now. So it just expresses everything full, man. And he does it in 22, 24 minutes. Which is even more great.
Yep. He doesn't have an hour.
It takes some people an hour
to
get to the point. And then the people who have an hour, they couldn't get to the point in 30 minutes if they had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I just think what he's doing with the time and everything is just genuine. It's gold.
Absolutely. Mark, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think that Atlanta, like you guys said, shows Atlanta, but it shows all aspects of black life, from the subculture to the actual upper echelon to all these things. And the common thread is everybody gets a hookup.
Yep.
And we didn't even talk about the chicken with the glow of the chicken with the guys who's like, I put some extra sauce on your chicken.
This is
put some extra sauce on there, you know,
the lemon pepper wet.
Yes, exactly. It was like, you know, they went in there, they got the hookup.
Yep.
It
was J.R. Crickets.
The people who tried to hold you back and black people are able to work around it, just like the guy who kept saying the N-word around him, but he wouldn't say it around other people who would check him.
Right, right.
When they were looking for, you know, he was like, okay, well, how can I get in terms of music, and who do I need to see? And, you know, Atlanta is all about the hookup.
Yep.
You know, these people, I mean, the bottom line is you all are transplants.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, you're
absolutely
transplants. So when you go down there, you bring a part of your culture from New York down there. And those people who need to know and who need to understand that there are different ways of life or different aspects of black life, you know, they can look to you and see that, you know, and that's where that show shows you the different aspects of life.
Absolutely. And I'll close it out with the thing that I love the most about this show is it's genuine in what it's trying to present, and it makes you see and understand that black people do so much with so little, but we will always have the opportunity to be successful. And I just enjoyed every aspect. And the biggest thing for me, there are plenty of shows that I like on TV, and there's plenty of movies that I like on TV. But for the first time in such a long time, this is the only show that I will go back and watch again and again. And again, I don't do that with many shows, but the brilliance and the good thing about this show, it is so good that I watch it again and again. I think I've seen the whole, about 80% of the series, at least between 2 and 3 times, because it's just that good. And everything else ends. You'll see a show, oh, that was so good, but it ends in your mind. You're done with it. This show doesn't end, and he does such a great job, because remember we used to call them transvestites, but you know, these women, that the guy that was in the jail that he was dating, she showed up again at the club with Paperboy, and he made you understand that this is a small world. It doesn't matter. You're going to see somebody one day, and you're going to see him again. And he made it seem that way, because you're going to continue to see the same people, because it's a small town, but it's a big town. So you're going to see those same people. And he ensures that you see that throughout the whole series. No matter what, you didn't see his parents anymore, but guess what? You never know when you see his parents. You're going to see his boy that he worked at the airport with, but he showed up again when they was at the club. So there's people that's always going to be there, because they got a small niche of people, but it's a huge, huge place. So amazing series for me. It's the best out of the ones that I've seen. I look at a lot of dramas, but this one is kind of close to the heart, because it's right where we at. But thank you, everybody. Great, great, great conversation. I really appreciate different aspects, because it even made me want to look at some things over again based on what you said. And I hope everyone who's listening will get that same feeling, because this is an amazing series. Coming up, we still going to have to finish off Insecure, the actual HBO series with Issa Rae, which is fantastic. It's almost like a California, Atlanta. But she's a comedian.
And they just renewed her for next season.
Yep, and they renewed her. So we're going to finish that off. We spoke about the first 4 to 5 of the series, but we're going to end that at the end of the series and speak to that. And then join us again on our next Tech Talk as well, where we'll be looking at home Wi-Fi. So those are our upcoming episodes, so stay tuned to our podcast. And we're looking forward to
our website,
www.dreadlockconnoisseur.com/urban-lifestyle-cafe. So keep that in mind, the Dreadlock Connoisseur, and you can get from there. And don't forget our upcoming Old Car Wax, where we'll be interviewing DJs in the current atmosphere on how they transition to vinyl to digital. And we have a lot of DJs that we kind of put on tap so we can be able to do that. So thank you very much, Urban Lifestyle Cafe, and have a great day, have a great night, and we'll see you soon.